Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard. I'm very honored to have three members of the team that made the wonderful short film Good Counsel with me. Hey, you three. It's Janelle Jones, Chandra Bond, and Aaron Bennett.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. We just talked. Actually, nice, wonderful podcast. I think we went well over an hour, which is awesome. We had these three, plus their director, David Levine, on for the interview about their film, Good Counsel, which I just want to tell you is an amazing film. It's awesome. It was an official selection at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in November of 2020, where it won Grand Jury Prize for Best Actress in a Supporting Role for Janelle Jones. So, bravo. Applause all around. And so, if you want to learn about the film, and you can watch it if you go to Prime Video, go to Amazon Prime Video any way you can, and just type in Discover Indie Film and watch Season 7, Episode 1 to see Good Counsel. It's an awesome short film. And if you listen to the podcast before this one, you'll hear spoilers. Fair enough. I've seen the film multiple times. I enjoy it every time, so I don't think it can be spoiled. This podcast is going to be these three having a good time answering the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are, just name three of your favorite films, a film that's underrated, a film that's overrated, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. I've got three of you. That makes for a lot of films to be named. So does anyone want to go first, just naming three favorites? I try to make it low pressure. It's not like name the three best films of all time. It's just three films that you absolutely love.
And all right.
Who wants to go first?
I feel like ladies first. I can jump in if everyone just kind of wants to hear what I've got.
You have permission. The women want you to go first so they can plan out their answers and do better than you.
I'll trudge through the deep snow. It makes it easier for those behind. All right, here we go. So three favorite films, Blues Brothers, actually, since I was very, very young, gave me my love for blues music, and comedy was already kind of pretty well seated, but one of my absolute favorite movies of all time. I actually own two life-size Blues Brothers that are up in my house in Washington State for literally no reason at all. I worked at a radio station and they were going to get rid of them. I was like, oh no, you don't. And I confiscated them. So
like the cardboard cutouts, like standees?
Oh no, they're statues.
Actual physical statues, three dimensional.
Of them dancing. And one has the harmonica, there's Jake and there's an Elwood. He's got the suitcase and the whole bit. It makes no sense and I'm completely shameless, but it terrifies people that go into the garage so I call it my security system. They go in there and it's perfectly outlined against the window of Jake holding a microphone and yelling. And yeah, I always get a text like, hey man, that's not cool. So the other one, No Country for Old Men and Silence of the Lambs. No Country is just such a great character study on a villain, and Silence of the Lambs, just nobody beats Anthony Hopkins as far as I'm concerned. Let's fight about it. But I absolutely love those two movies. Silence of the Lambs, probably the most scared any one performance has ever made me. And that was the first visceral reaction to a film that I've ever had in that genre. And then No Country for Old Men, just a frightening villain. And just an amazing performance by everyone involved. A film that I feel is underrated, The Edge. That's oddly enough, because a lot of people's heads turn to the side, which I guess is appropriate. It's an Anthony Hopkins movie. I believe Alec Baldwin is in it as well. Anthony Hopkins plays a very wealthy aging businessman with a very young wife, model, they go out in Alaska and there's a bear. A grizzly attack. And I don't know why, but the movie and the things that Anthony Hopkins says, the way that he says them, it for some reason just is like my biggest guilty pleasure. I quote it all the time. Nobody ever knows what I'm talking about. So I think it's the perfect example. A film you feel is overrated.
Actually, I'm going to hold you up. I intended for everyone to do their favorites. Everyone answer question just the one, and then everyone answer question two.
I broke formula. Yeah, do it.
No worries. It's time to hear from someone. Chandra, you want to go?
Sure. So it's always been really hard for me to pick favorites because I love all kinds of genres. So they're not favorites, but they've always been like the top 10. So I love Moulin Rouge. I'm a sucker for love and I'm a sucker for musicals. I've always loved Labyrinth. Cause I love production design and the puppetry. I think it's fantastic. And I love whimsical stuff. And then I also really have always loved the Santa Claus cause I love Christmas and it just makes me smile.
That is excellent. Excellent. I gotta say, I love Labyrinth too.
Yeah,
for sure. And, Janelle, you want to name your three?
Yeah, sure. So I think probably the film that I reference the most in day-to-day conversation is Heat. Because you're watching one character line develop, and then you think, yeah, this is who I'm rooting for. Pivot to the other character line. Oh, no, I'm rooting for these guys. And then, oh, no, back to the original storyline. And you actually end the movie not knowing who you really wanted to win. And that is just such great writing. And of course, it has to be delivered by great actors and cut together and all the other elements that come together for a great film. But I think I probably reference that more than anything on a day-to-day basis. I do love lots of spy things. So Spy Game is probably most likely to be playing on a Sunday afternoon. And then in terms of character development, I think Joker is hard to beat in terms of every 5 seconds we've been brought one step further down that character's development. And then 5 seconds later, we've all taken another collective step. And it is so deliberate and so specific and so directional and never relents for a couple hours. Just extraordinary. Extraordinary collaboration with the sound and the directing and the acting and the script, everything down to costumes, everything shows such a deliberate character development that brings us along. It's just extraordinary.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe one of the best character studies we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now an underrated film from each of you, I guess. Chandra went first with favorites between you two. So Janelle, you want to do your underrated?
Yeah. So this, I don't know if this is in the right category or not, but I would say the sound design specifically on a very highly rated film. I think it's an underrated characteristic of The Fifth Element. You could actually tell the story, turn off the screen and listen to the characters, the sounds and the plots are introduced with sound initially or brought into the world with sound. Every character has a very distinctive voice, and it's all a symphony when it gets to the crescendo of the piece. I just think that the sound alone in that film doesn't get enough credit.
I love The Fifth Element. That's also one of my favorites.
It's so great.
I think for me, an underrated film would be Fried Green Tomatoes. I found it, I think, when I was I was young. I was in my teens. And I love Kathy Bates. She's one of my favorite actresses. And I think that the performances in the movie are just so solid. But I think it's one of those films that kind of came out and people liked but got buried by other stuff. So it's one of those that I've just always kind of clung to.
It's a really great film. And it's funny that you name it because that's like my generation's film in a way. Like, you know, the leads are, you know, whatever, Mary Stuart Masterson. Yeah. And I'm blanking on the other.
I'd have to look it up. It's been a while.
Yeah. But such a great film. And yeah, I think you're right. I think it had a little bit of Oscar attention when it came out, but it's one of those films that people don't remember.
Yeah, it was Kathy Bates, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's just so many funny situational moments in it. It's just always been one, but it has a lot of heart in it. And yeah, I think it's just one of those that overall is just a really solid movie, but for whatever year it came out in, there was other things that just maybe overshadowed it and people just forget about it.
By the way, I was trying to think of Mary Louise Parker.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes.
Excellent. Excellent pick.
Thank you.
All right. Now, who wants to go first for an overrated film? I'll add, you all seem like really nice people. Overrated isn't insulting the film, I'll add. Overrated, you could say, I love this film, but it didn't deserve all the hoopla it got or didn't deserve Best Picture. You know what I mean? So you're not necessarily insulting it. You're just saying people hold it in too high regard. All right, who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'm glad you prefaced it that way. Like, I'm really glad you prefaced me. We're all filmmakers, all of us, and we all love it. And then the hardest thing in the world you can imagine is someone tearing your movie up because you put so many hours/years into making it, and you know these people did too. So, like, two things. But if you have to pick one. I said The English Patient was mine, and I liked it on the first watch. The cinematically, just amazing because I saw it on the big screen. But one, my biggest takeaway was like, okay, well, that was very visually stunning. Didn't need to be this long. I mean, it was stunning to watch. Painful to sit through the entire thing, where characters were great. They jumped out. They were well established so early on. Now I just feel like a lot of it beyond that point was just a lot of mental masturbation. And like, I was like, gosh, we're still going with this. It just drug on. So it was kind of like afterwards when I started doing more of my own writing, I thought, okay, well, this is kind of like War and Peace. It, to me, a great, great story, but kind of an era when writing a serial novel, you got paid by the word. That's kind of how it felt. It felt like you could have made this more concise and it would have been just as impactful.
I mean, honestly, I've always felt about The English Patient is that the Juliette Binoche, Naveen Andrews story, you know, the nurse and the I don't know. I thought that story that's the story I loved. And then the main story I kind of found dull.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot going on, a lot being said. And I just almost felt like it was two movies they were trying to smush together. And I mean, a lot of things are done that way and are done so well, like a Crash kind of thing, you know, but I just felt it wasn't necessary with this world. But gosh, everybody loved that movie and it just destroyed that year for nominations. But I couldn't get myself to watch it a second time. I was like, okay, that's a one and done. So I guess, yeah.
All right. Who wants to go next with an overrated?
I'll go. So it's not necessarily the movie as a whole, but I think that Life of Pi, I know it won for cinematography, but I think that its innovation with how it did cinematography was great. But compared to a lot of the other things it was up against, I didn't agree with that winning for cinematography. I thought that Roger Deakins should have won for either of the two he was up for. I thought that it was a fun film and it definitely, you know, brought some new things, but I don't know. It didn't quite gel with me.
Hollywood just, you know, they don't know what cinematography really is. And they were blown away by the digital tiger and that wasn't the cinematography.
No. There's so much more that goes into it. And I mean, even Lion with Caleb Deschanel, you know, using new 3D technology and virtual stuff to create the cinematography for that, it's cool. And I think there's a lot that goes into both of those. But when it comes to cinematography for me, it's way more about the light and being on stage and just, you know, like we've talked about before, the mise en scene. And I think just relying on, I shouldn't say just relying on technology and innovation, but I think that it blew so many people out of the water with being something more new and used that it just kind of overshadowed, I guess, stereotypical cinematography. But didn't agree.
Is it safe to say that you have deeper insight into cinematography than most?
Yes, especially being married to and living with a cinematographer. I have definitely spent time picking his brain, and also having a, you know, time in film school, learning more about it. It's just, I do have a deeper appreciation, I think.
Absolutely. All right, Janelle, it's your turn.
Okay, so I think I'll piggyback off of Aaron's rule of thumb. If you could watch something twice, I like that. And I will also pick one of Aaron's favorite films, No Country for Old Men. Great film, beautiful. But I don't know that I would do round two with it. So there we go.
For those listening, I gave a double thumbs up because I was thinking at the end of this to let Aaron know that No Country for Old Men is my overrated sometimes, because I love the film.
No.
I love it, but I'm a huge Coen Brothers fan, and I'm not sure it's in my top five for Coen Brothers movies. And it won Best Picture over There Will Be Blood, which I think is
another,
like,
huge favorite of mine.
Ridiculously good.
Yeah.
So that's one of my examples of, I think No Country for Old Men is amazing.
Yes.
And it should not be one of the Coen Brothers' Best Picture wins. They should have won for Miller's Crossing, and they should have, you know, there's all these other films they should have won for, but not that one. that's what I enjoy about this list, is how people can disagree and have fun with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It broke my heart.
Oh, I got backup on that.
You know, it used to always be people arguing over The Dark Knight. It used to always be one person thinks The Dark Knight is one of the best films ever made, and the other's like, that film's so overrated. But anyway.
I tried to
this
stay
was
away
the perfect
the
setup.
The nerd fair.
It was a good setup.
It's divisive.
All right. Well, the last one is fun. It's a lesser-known film that people should seek out. So I think I'm going to ask Janelle to go first, because I don't think you've gone first yet.
Okay. So something that I saw at a film festival, a French film festival last year, is something in a category I generally do not gravitate at all toward comedy. But this film, French Tech, was just such a fabulous slow build in a comedic manner that I actually really loved, and I thought that it had enough drama to it to hold my attention as well, and it had me outright laughing by the end. So French Tech, if you're good with subtitles.
Excellent. And Chandra, you want to go?
Sure. So I actually discovered this film last year and have become a huge fan of this director, but the movie Thunder Road by Jim Cummings. It's an indie director, indie film. He wrote, acted, and directed it. But it's just, it's got a lot of heart. I think it's really interesting with how it starts out. I don't want to give any spoilers away, but Thunder Road by Jim Cummings.
You know, I'm as we speak, I am pulling out my phone to add that to my list of movies to watch, because someone else named Thunder Road like last week.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So it must good. Be great.
He has a few other films as well. If you're a fan of it, he's definitely, I think, someone to watch out for.
No, you're in the know. See, I don't see any movies besides that get submitted to the festivals. So this gives me good tips. All right, Aaron, lesser known.
This is so much pressure. Comedy being my favorite thing in the world, I'm going to I don't know how often people mention comedies to you. I would be curious. But I was going to say initially, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. You know, if you like the movie Snatch by Guy Ritchie, that was one that I stumbled across afterwards and really loved. But I erased my answer and went with comedy again. And PCU is, it was this movie on VHS. Okay, so you know it.
I was in college when that thing came out.
I had
that's
it on
the
VHS.
David Spade, right? David Spade is
David Spade was our antagonist.
He's the uptight preppy.
The uptight preppy guy. There's a tiny glimpse of Chris Farley in there, just for a split second. He's in there as one of the rednecks in the truck. There's just a smorgasbord, but it's Jeremy Piven in the lead role, and I love it in the same way that I love Van Wilder and fast banter. I love fast talk. Reynolds is a showman, and very subdued, throwaway deliveries constantly. Well, Jeremy Piven is just. He, to me, exemplified that before I ever found Van Wilder. And I would make my friends and new friends sit down and watch this movie. And because we would be making jokes. It's one of those movies where you make so many references and so many jokes during situations when you're at the mall, when malls still existed, and something would happen and you would just be like, oh, that's such and such. And you would say, quote a line from the movie. It was so quotable. And it was, you know, during the Clinton era, if I remember correctly. So politically correctness or, you know, PC being PC was just new uptick. And people were very cognizant of all these things. And this took that and made such a big joke of it. And we're just like, hey, let's just meter our expectations when we become PC or adopt a PC culture. And they had all of the groups, you know, your environmentalists, your civil rights, you know, all of those groups that start budding their opinions and start to grow into themselves on a college atmosphere. And the PC stands for Port Chester, but I mean, even the name is a nice double entendre. And, you know, you've got the hippie class and it's I don't know why, but that has always been a guilty pleasure and that nobody has ever heard of. And now it's so old that, you know, I it's just going to get more and more obscure. But I think Jeremy Piven is like a master at that delivery right up there with Ryan Reynolds. I think very underrated currently.
I like that you mentioned guilty pleasure. There's been times that I thought of dropping, because sometimes people have a hard time with overrated. Sometimes I thought of just saying, okay, make it guilty pleasure instead. But I won't let go of overrated for now.
Create some good tension.
Yeah. But I always thought PCU was also sort of like it stinks, like PU, but whatever. That's maybe just,
right.
I saw that double entendre too. Before we jump out of here, I'm gonna give in to my baser instincts and mention that like one of my guilty pleasures from my college days of playing the same VHS over and over and making all the friends watch it was Summer School. Which,
oh, that's great.
The Mark Harmon Summer School movie that is, well, let's just say it's not great cinema, but it's fun.
Yeah, no, it's fun. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Yeah,
it's in the PCU world. It's in the PCU Venn diagram for me. It's like,
right.
And
oh, that's great. That's a deep cut too.
That's a deep cut. I don't know why. I think we got it for like a dollar, you know, in the, we're not going to rent this anymore bin. And we just like watched the hell out of that film. All right. Anyway, you guys want to mention you want to mention any websites or social media stuff before I go on my ending ramble?
Sure. You can follow me if you are so inclined at Chandra.bond on Instagram.
Excellent. And that'll be a clickable, what do you call it? In the show notes.
Okay.
I am accessible through Chandra.
Exactly. That would be, I wish that this podcast were so huge and influential that Chandra would get a flood of questions. Say, I want to talk to you, but could you forward this to Janelle?
Unlikely.
Break my computer.
Unlikely.
And Aaron, you're Aaron Wright Stuff.
Yeah, Aaron Wright's Stuff on Instagram. And my reps are Heroes and Villains.
Excellent.
Kristen and Devon.
All right, I will wrap us up with the... I'll try to be brief. I'm not brief about it. But all right, if you want... You just heard the Discover Indie Film 4 questions answered by these three lovely people. If you want to see their film Good Counsel, which is an amazing award-winning short film, go to Amazon Prime Video, hopefully on a big TV, not on a phone, but if you have to, watch on a phone. And type in Discover Indie Film. It auto-completes somewhere along the way. I think there's only Discover India and Discover Indie Film. So once you get that E in Indie, I think it's definitely going to auto-complete. And if you want, jump straight to season 7. There actually are 7 seasons so far. Season 8 is already cooking. But go to season 7, episode 1 to see Good Counsel. It actually is after a really fun music video full of squirrels. And then a hilarious mockumentary from South Africa. And then you get Good Counsel, which is a super sharp drama thriller, maybe on the 4th or 5th viewing comedy. Who knows? There's subtle comedy.
Yeah. Megan / Janelle does have a line in there that gets you a chuckle. The first time it doesn't, but you absolutely, it got the DP to turn around and look at me and go, ooh.
Absolutely.
It's a frightening delivery of a very funny line. So
all right, and that's how people can find Good Counsel for now. I'll add that if you want to learn more about this, please like and subscribe to the podcast. I never remember to say that. If you want to learn more about the podcast or the TV series that was born out of it, just go to discoverindiefilm.com, and on social media it's @difwins everywhere. And I think I mentioned in the intro that Good Counsel won awards at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2020. We hold that festival every November, and it's ShermanOaksFF.com, and it's @ShermanOaksFF on social media. Sister festival every June is Film Invasion Los Angeles. That's FilmInvasionLA.com and @FilmInvasionLA on social media. And I'll mention, I started another fun thing for indie films. Editor's note, every time I say Hi TV, I should have actually said TV Hi. The service has been rebranded. It is called TV Hi, as in watchtvhi.com, TVHI. And you can learn more about it on social media if you go to @watchtvhi. And that's always TVHI. Back to the podcast. It's a smart TV app, which you probably, most people just consider a streaming service. If you go to watchhitv.com, you can subscribe for $4.20 a month to a streaming service that all the content is curated to be wonderful to watch when you're high. All right. Janelle, Chandra, Aaron, thank you all so much for doing this.
Thank you
for having us.
And thank you everyone for listening. Yeah.